We're all in a go status.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a Monday, a manic Monday as it may be, because Bill O'Brien did what I have been requesting for quite some time, as I welcome in my partner Travis Johnson, the former number one pick of your Houston Texans, the man who made 99 famous. Before there was a JJ, there was a Trap J. And Trap, you and I, who are good friends, we communicate, and we allow you to flow, too. We watched a game yesterday, and I thought about calling you right at the moment it happened. But we've had this conversation back and forth over and over again. I said, even if it's just to send a message, at some point during a game, they got to do this. Lo and behold, I didn't think it would be against lowly Jacksonville and they would be getting their butts handed to them.
They were getting whooped bad.
But I give Bill O'Brien credit for finally doing it, because without that switch, they don't win that game.
Not at all. I don't think so either. And that's the crazy part about it is you wonder if it's a Bill O'Brien issue, or is it that these guys aren't prepared to do what they're doing. You know what I mean? So here's my thing is I question now how good a coach Bill O'Brien is with the quarterbacks, because everybody says
you just see me making faces.
Right? Yeah, I know, because when we think about it, and Donovan McNabb broke it down real well this morning. I mean, and you've done it too, but then when I sat there,
I've done it several times, but I'm not Donovan McNabb.
Exactly,
so I see you looking past.
Yeah, but when I'm listening this morning. And he's talking about the fact that you take Brady out of the equation and you go to all his quarterbacks that he's coached. Name one that he's prepared to the point where you're saying, this is a well-prepared quarterback.
This is kind of like when Joel just a few weeks back said, when you look at Hoyer and you look at Mallett and you look at he's prepared and what they've done, whether it be here or elsewhere, including my man that was in Minnesota and Dallas and all over the place, too, that had one good year.
And he's still adamant that he has three talented quarterbacks.
You said what happened?
He said that he has three talented quarterbacks on the roster.
Now he does, yeah.
Well, that's fine and dandy, but, I mean, we all know what we saw, what we've been seeing. But in his defense, I will also say it also made me feel good to know that a lot of the stuff might have also been the knowledge of the offense. Because when you saw Savage get out there, he wasn't thinking as much as he was just playing.
Nick, before we get to that, because you're right, you were at the game.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your opinion on the fact that they were booing pretty. I mean, it was almost like the pressure was never going to be greater than what you were feeling in that stadium after the second stream. Now, and to Brock's credit, the first one wasn't necessarily his fault.
Well, it would have been a tough catch.
He had two hands on it.
And I will say this, not to cut you off, Nick.
No, go ahead.
But two Florida State guys did get interceptions yesterday.
I'm going to take one of them. If he's not, he is the premier up-and-coming corner in this league, period. We'll get to that, too.
So you don't think that pass was high? Like, Will Fuller should have made that catch, or was that a bad
pass? He had to throw
it
over the line to get it where it needed to go, right? So I'm not saying it would have been a hell of a catch if he made it,
right?
But it's a tough pick to get, too, because he did get two hands on it.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. But from a standpoint from the crowd, they had enough because the Boo Birds were deafening.
Yeah, well, it got to the point where they booed him after both interceptions, obviously, and then they booed him when he got benched, and it was getting so bad to the point where Lamar Miller actually was trying to get them to
calm
quiet
down.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, I guess I shouldn't feel bad for him because he's got a great paycheck, but you could see Brock Osweiler in the locker room, and he was just down, and people felt kind of bad for him, but they're also happy about the win. So
a lot of people say he's a good human being. He's a good dude. I love all that, and that's great. But at the end of the day, it's all about winning football games. And I like what Bill O'Brien said in the post-game press conference. It doesn't matter about how much your paycheck is.
Right.
Sometimes you got to make a decision. This is a long time coming, maybe a little too late, but at the same time, the move that he made saved the season. Because without it, now you're playing catch up with Tennessee.
Because Tennessee basically.
What a win they had.
What a win, but not only that, but they would have controlled their own destiny. They went out, they're in.
Yep.
And it's the same thing for the Texans. You went out, you're in. But you lose a game and have a stumble. Now it's a battle. Now it's no making the wild card for anybody in the AFC South.
Yeah, no question. But that's what I'm saying. So to me, it's like, and to get to your point, Travis, and I want to get what people think too. I mean, it's an obvious question, but if you want to call in 713-780-ESPN, you can text us to that number. You can call into that number. Our intern Deuce is standing by too if you need someone to entertain you before you get on the air. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can also hit us up on Twitter. My big thing now is the obvious question, but do you stick with Savage? Or do you make the switch? You know, here's the thing. I know no matter what coach speak comes out of his mouth.
You got to ride the hot hand.
We've said this before with Dak and Tony, but because Brock has started all year, I can see him trying to spin this like we need to give Brock another chance.
Here's the thing. Is another chance going to cost you your job?
And the playoffs.
Is another chance going to cost you the playoffs?
Yep.
Is another chance going to cost? That's one thing that guys in the locker room, we don't, like, we don't look it through the media's eyes. We know who can and who will win us ball games. And when you think about how Savage has played from the preseason to OTAs to everything, he's outplayed Brock Osweiler for the most part ever since Brock Osweiler has had on a Houston Texans uniform. So I think a lot of the guys realize that this is who can win us ball games. This is who we need to go with. And I'm pretty sure guys in the locker room applaud that. And it's hard. You can't fake the funk. Inside that locker room, they see through everything.
I see where I'm at, by the way, because the things that I've been preaching for months now finally come to the limelight, and Donovan McNabb gets credit from my partner.
I mean, he's a quarterback guy, so when we're talking quarterback stuff, it just was that's funny because I was listening to him and I said, well, you know what, Joe kind of tried to make that point.
Kind of,
but
tried.
It didn't come
of
off.
The two of us, who enunciates clearly and makes their points,
you're right.
Okay,
but I do exactly.
Oh, so, okay, all right.
So it was. It came off a little different. You know, it came off more locker roomish talk than radio talk. I understand that more than I do. Radio.
Oh, you
talk
don't have to explain that to Nicker. Yeah. We both know that you understand locker room talk a hell of a lot better than you understand anything that happens at the station. By the way, we've got a full show for you. We could talk this all afternoon. We could also talk Rockets with another big win in a comeback fashion. We could talk a lot of things. We have a full agenda. Nick's got an outline of things to get to. And you can be a part of the show, as I mentioned. Hit us up on Twitter, 713-780-ESPN on the phone and text. And by the way, shout out to Falbo Brothers. My man, Hani, H-A-N-I, not Honey, Hani. Hani does not want to be on the radio today, but he's a loyal sponsor of our show, and he brought lunch for the entire station. From the stuffed crust to the deep dish to all the salad and everything else that you can get at Falbo Brothers on Sweetwater Boulevard right off 59 in Sugarland. It's takeout only. It's the best pizza in Houston, bar none. If you want great pizza coming up for the holidays, for people coming over to the house, for watching your favorite football games, hit up Falbo Brothers in Sugarland. Tell them that Joel Blank sent you at ESPN. They'll give you 2-for-1 during the holidays. Buy one, get one free. However you want to do it, you just tell them it's mentioned me, ESPN. They'll take care of it. Honey, we love you. We appreciate you. Drive back safely. We got much more football to talk about and everything else. Travis Johnson, Nick Sciarra, and me, Joel Blank, right here, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, Nick Sciarra behind the glass till 4 o'clock in the afternoon as we're here to kick some ass and talk football with you and give you opinions you're not going to get anywhere else and break it all down like a mother. Nick was at the game. Trapp, you did not go?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I watched it, and then I watched it again this morning. You mentioned this, and this is something that I really wanted to bring to the forefront of why I liked Savage. I liked his calm presence in the pocket. I liked his composure. You know, when Brock gets, he feels the rush, especially coming from the outside. He knows to step up, but he gets happy feet. He starts slinging that sidearm thing where his elbow drops down and the ball floats on him. The second pick was a perfect example where he dropped down, the elbow came flying, and the thing just sailed on him. Savage just looked like he was in complete control. Even when the rush came, he didn't panic. If he had to throw it away, he did. He made good passes. Now, there were some that he could have had picked too, but that's going to happen in the course of a game. But what I liked was DeAndre Hopkins was getting the ball and doing things with a really good corner on him. And he was, and the other thing that was very obvious, but another thing I've been preaching, Savage's eyes never looked at the primary target until the very last minute, looking off the defensive backs. He actually had the poise of someone that had been there and done it before when he really hasn't, except for preseason. And I was really impressed with that because you could see in the huddle, he had the attention of his guys and they believed in him. And when he started completing passes, they were excited as excited as he was, and that was a good sign.
No question. I mean, his grasp for the offense, I think, is everything. Is the fact that he's been a few years in this offense, a few years in this system, a few years to learn the ins and outs. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer to think he'd run the offense a little bit better than Brock could run it. I just think it was so glaring for the simple fact is that he had the opportunity to make the most of his opportunity, and he did it. And I think that the fact that he looked so much better than Brock, I think that's what has everybody like, you got to be kidding us. This could have been all year we could have been doing this.
Yeah.
Or we didn't have to pay $72 million to get a quarterback. We didn't have – I think that's probably what the fans itself looking at like
– That's your common fan, right?
Yeah.
Realistically, I was one of those guys that said, you can't turn the keys over to the franchise – to a guy that was not a first or second round pick. But I'll say this to his credit, a lot of backups.
Yeah.
Would sleep through meetings. You could tell he paid attention to detail. He had a grasp of from the checkdowns to the audibles. He knew everything about that offense, and that's what really impressed me.
And as he should. And when you think about it, outside of the top tier guys, some quarterbacks for a while weren't. You got to remember, Dallas doesn't have a first round pick. Dallas doesn't have a quarterback that's a first round pick. When you think about, we keep going down the line.
New England
doesn't have a quarterback with a first round pick.
Doesn't have to be a first round, but you know that was the knock on TJ when TJ Yates was here. Was he was such a low round pick that meant that he, you know, mechanically and otherwise, he never would have been a starter in this league. A lot of people had that mentality. I just didn't think he was seasoned yet because of the fact that he didn't have a lot of time during regular season games. But I'm telling you, the fact that he put this much work into studying and being ready when his number was called was evident.
He learned how to be a pro for one.
Yep.
For two, you can just tell that the kid was ready for he's ready for his close up. He's ready for his time. Everybody has their time, and I think when you look at how he prepared during the offseason, you look at the chip that he played with. He played with a chip, knowing, thinking I could be the starting quarterback here, but they don't believe in me enough. So that's why he prepared the way he did. I mean, when you think about it, everybody said why give the keys to the franchise to a guy who's a fourth, fifth round pick or whatever, wherever he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you forget Matt Schaub, when he was doing well for us, he was also a fourth round pick, and we gave the keys to him, and he had just as much.
It's tape. A good point.
We
it's
had
a good
just
point.
Much tape now, on, out there on him.
I do want to say, I don't change anything that I've said, and just the fourth and one call alone chapped me beyond belief to say, look, you're making the play calls. You said you're taking it over, and that's what you do on fourth and one. I mean, I don't take him off the hot seat. I still have him firmly on the hot seat. And yes, Savage saved his bacon, but it doesn't make up for all the miscues, the red flags, the not thrown red flags, the offensive coordinator, or who's calling the plays, the conservativeness. They're still running the ball when they should be passing the ball and vice versa, and they're very predictable. But at the same time, look, you survived another week because Tom Savage saved your bacon. That doesn't mean you're out of the woods yet because you got to win this division.
Yeah, you do.
But the fourth and one call trap, I mean, why? Why would he do that?
It was awful.
That's just what they want. I mean, you don't have a lot of fourth and one stuff in your book.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going for it, you're trying to make a point, you got to go for it.
What about the decision to leave Lamar Miller at the end there when you didn't have to, and then he's limping off the field, limping in the locker room?
Well, I mean,
you could have just used Blue.
Yeah, you could have used Blue, you could have used a lot of...
Hunt.
I think when you there's only 53 people on his roster.
Yeah.
So nobody, unless you're JJ, unless you're one, nobody's greater than the next guy. So you're looking at okay. who's gonna do me best in this situation.
You got a good pair of legs behind center. At least put play action in play. Give him options. You know, especially with a spread formation to start with. Look, let him roll out. Now you got options. Now guys can break off routes if they have to, but you can do a lot of different things. I understand if they're all going to play the middle of the line thinking it's going to be a dive. But that call right there and the success rate, and especially a guy that's not real warm yet.
Yes.
I just don't like it.
Well, I think it's showing the confidence. It was attempt to be a confidence booster for Savage. You see what I'm saying? I think that was the reason why they went about it like that. They attempted to let him know, you know what? We have total confidence in what you want to do. And I think that's the, when you look at that.
Man, I'll build this confidence in the offseason, but
confidence is built. He moved him down the field
70 some yards on that drive.
Yeah.
I just felt like, look, you punctuate that thing with a touch, and this kid's coming off, coming sky high.
He is.
So just, I'd roll him out, man. I would roll him out. I would say, look, his legs are good enough. If you see a seam, it's 1 yard. Dive.
Yeah, that 1 yard is a long
yard. I understand that, but you know what? Especially if you're worried about going over the top, but now the defense has to respect that. They're spread out. You can get guys to break off routes. I wasn't big with that call, and it just, to me, it punctuated everything I've said all year about Bill O'Brien. Dude, I don't know what it is, from the quarterback whisper to the red flag to all these other things, but you might be over your head, man. You just might be over your head.
I don't know if he's over his head. I just think it's a lot. It's right now, it's a lot going on. And it, like I said, it's hard to win games in the league. It's hard to go. It's hard to win one game, let alone try to win 10 games, let alone be playoff bound, let alone to go 8-8 in the NFL. Everybody says, oh, well, it can't be too hard. Bill Belichick does it all the time. Bill Belichick's one of the greatest coaches of all time. See what I'm saying? And that's one of the reasons. And he continues to know what he wants, how he wants it, and it's only a matter of time before Bill O'Brien gets to that point where he knows where he wants. I mean, look at it this way: we still have a better roster than Jacksonville, and they fire Gus Bradley on the plane back.
Yeah, we need to get to that. That's crazy. There's plenty to get to with all of this. The good news is we're doing all this with a win in the back pocket and still tied for first place. But the thing that you better do is you don't even have to look in your rearview mirror. You just need to roll down the window and look to either side.
Yeah.
Because what you see driving next to you is driving at a real fast rate of speed, and it's picking up momentum. Tennessee's playing football, gang, and guess what? They beat the hottest defense in the league, came from behind to do so, and they aren't going anywhere to give you this division, and you need to pay attention.
No question.
So we'll get to that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right. I know you're out there. I see what you're tweeting. By the way, Lamont, slow your roll. If you thought I was worried about the Bears, they were in control for most of that game, took care of business, got a W.
Dub Bears.
Just like your Texans, they're going to be in first place eventually. Don't sleep on it. You'd love to have 12 at center in red, white, and blue instead of green and gold.
That's true.
True statement, right? And to our boy John.
Then you'll bring it up. They'd be like, yeah, we would have had him, but we took Travis. You're like, yeah, but we had.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have had the radio personality for life.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm here for you. The other thing that we're talking about is, by the way, we'll get back to that because there's always room in our show to get back to the green and gold, Nick. But John McClain, who had went out and said, I tweeted him, he didn't even want to respond. But I would say that his mind might be just a little bit changed about Aaron Rodgers being a Hall of Famer after the numbers he's put up again and done it with the team he's had, with the injuries he's had. And by the way, another last-minute, last-second comeback. Dude's been phenomenal. His numbers back it up. And even Sean Salisbury said, Sean Salisbury made the statement when we were leaving the studio, he could quit today and he'd be in.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. So anyway, getting back to the Texans, I wanted to get tap into your resource because it's a guy we've been talking about all year. But I know it's taken a while, and you can say, well, maybe maturity had something to do with it. For whatever reason, Jadeveon Clowney is playing some football. And we said at the start of the year when you tipped off the world that, hey, he was going to be a five-technique guy, he was going to move down on the D-line, and for a guy a little lesser in stature in terms of the weight that needed to play that position, yeah, he could be in for some tough times. He has taken the reins, and he has run with them, and he is impressive.
I'm going to tell you the biggest thing. For one, they're using him a lot. They're using him in a lot of different places, not just five-technique, but he starts at the five-technique for the most part. But the greatest part about it is that I think what's helped him tremendously is the fact that what's our linebacker coach's name? Vrabel.
Yeah, so Mike Vrabel.
So Vrabel is a different type of coach. Vrabel's a in your face, MFU. He's that type of guy.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He wants those type of guys to eat, breathe, sleep, and that's his type.
Type A personality.
Exactly, but. When you look at Weaver, Weaver's just a laid back. Weaver's a Polynesian dude, man. He's just laid back.
Anthony Weaver, who played for the Texans.
Yeah, he played for the Texans with one of my former teammates. And Weaver's just such a good dude and just knows, hey, listen, I'm not gonna mother cuss you. I'm not gonna MF you. All I wanna do is get you to Sunday. I'm gonna make sure you don't get too worn down during the week. Make sure that you don't. Even if you banged up, I'm gonna give you your reps, but I'm not gonna force you to be out there. You know, I think with Vrabel, Vrabel probably put Jadeveon in an uncomfortable situation. You know what I mean? Like some people say, oh, the pressure of being uncomfortable is when you make progress. But yeah, but in the football world, a little bit. You don't want to be uncomfortable every day when you come
Everybody's
to work.
It's different too. Some guys you can get in their face.
Yeah,
and some guys you gotta. Stroke
I think having Weaver being the technician that he is phenomenal for him. I think you look at what bringing back Antonio Smith has done for him, because what he does is Antonio is he's a mind guy, and he's another technician and a great teacher as far as when it comes to his teammates. So when you get a guy like Antonio back in your locker room, you know the positive things that he's going to do. Antonio was a big instrument in getting Whitney Merciless the way he is now.
Really?
Yeah, by teaching him, by teaching him and talking to him, and the fact that their lockers are right next to each other, so he's able to give him that tutelage every day.
That's big.
Because
he's still wearing pads.
Yeah, of course.
For a lot of these young players, they don't want to hear it from coaches.
No.
But when they hear it from a guy that's suiting up with them every day, that's been there, done that, it sinks in.
It not only does it sink, but so it's just, I think that's the biggest thing, because even you look at JJ and you look at Jadeveon, they might be two different personalities. So one does one certain way, another one does another certain. So maybe even it may be between them. Yeah, they're friends. Yeah, they like each other.
Now.
Exactly. But I think it's just.
You're getting to what I want to get to.
But I think when you look at it as the way JJ works, might not work for Jadeveon.
Sure.
So he found that in between, and I think Antonio was able to help him with that in between of being the vet that he needs in his life.
No, I don't want to ruin your flow, but I want to get to the point that you've led me into, which is the biggest sign to me of his maturity and his acceptance and his taking the next step is JJ. Because you remember before, they'd ask him about Clowney. You'd have to ask the coaching staff and the trainers. I don't know where he's been, what he's done. Or they'd ask him in the weight room. How did Jadeveon look in the weight room? He goes, didn't even see him in there, and that's he wouldn't even talk to him about him anything. Now on the sidelines, he's giving him daps and screaming and encouragement, and then they're talking about the fact that they can't wait to play on the same line together next year, and all these different things that weren't there before.
But they weren't there before because of the, in my opinion, the conflict that some of the coaches started. When you think about the way Vrabel probably speaks, because Vrabel was a guy who played a long time, played at a high level in this league. So when you got a guy like Vrabel and you got a guy like JJ who respects the stuff that comes out of Vrabel's mouth, he's not paying attention to what Jadeveon's actually doing. He's listening to what Vrabel's telling him, or he's listening to what one of these other coaches.
Well, a lot of the noise in the locker room, too, was this guy needs to straighten up. This guy, his work ethic is questioned. But see,
that's that BS.
I'm saying
that's the stuff. That's the stuff that they allow to continue to leak out. You know
how we know JJ was going to align himself up with the coaching staff.
Always, but you know how we talked about how everybody put their little nuggets out here.
Yeah,
you know
they dangle the lure and they throw it
to the media.
Yep.
Or you know they might drop a note that says, "JJ, I mean, Jadeveon needs to do this." And then all of a sudden, some of the players buy into that foolishness because they listen to media, they listen to us, they listen to all the people.
Well, they're not going to get steered wrong with us.
Who aren't there. You see what I'm saying?
I get it. But here's the thing. But just to see JJ supporting him and believing in him.
And that's where I was getting at. Because they're in the same room. So they're in the same room. So now he sees how he works. He's in his face. He's there every day to see what he's doing. You see what I'm saying? Beforehand, you're in one meeting and I'm in another meeting.
But if they're in the weight room together and he wouldn't even comment on him in the past, you know it was like, you've got to prove something to me. I'm questioning.
Why I got to prove something to you?
Because, I'm just saying, from JJ's perspective, it seemed like, hey, I'm not a believer in this kid, his work ethic, whatever. It seemed like he was questioning everything. But now you can't question him because the results are live and in living color for everyone to see. Like you said, it's on tape. It's on TV. It's in person. Just check it out.
He's always worked hard. That's the crazy. Here's the thing. Everybody wants to put it on the kid as saying, his work ethic's that. I mean, what? Just because I'm not doing everything JJ's doing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make my work ethic any less. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a good point.
And I think that was in the media and all the people outside bought into this, the South Carolina stuff, or he was hurt, he was banged up, he couldn't play, all of that stuff they bought into. But the kid works and he knows how to work. That's one thing they didn't talk about is the fact that this kid gets down to 250 pounds. To play this year because they tell him he's going to play outside linebacker.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, before the season starts, they move him to five technique to play the five technique at 250 pounds. I don't care. You're not doing it.
Right.
It's not going to work. See what I'm saying?
And
that to me was a sign that one, they were trying to set him up to fail.
That's an interesting point. They were trying to set him up to fail. Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
What
they didn't realize was they were putting him in a better situation. They were putting him in a better situation.
The best
with having,
fit for him.
The best fit.
And the thing, too, is that I noticed Crennel is now starting to realize and believe in him, too, because the stunts they were using yesterday where he was coming up to shoot, he's so damn fast that linemen have no chance to stop him with a full head of steam.
He turns the corner so well. He bends and he leans and he gets that toes pointed the right way.
He got screwed on the one sack because they said it was a running play because it was a read option.
Exactly.
But to read it the way he did, and just blow it up.
Yeah, I think what it shows the most is one, how hard he's working; two, how hard he's playing; three, the type of pro he's become in his preparation. Because every game he plays five different positions. Every game since JJ's been hurt, he has to play the five, the outside linebacker, middle linebacker. They got him playing all three technique in certain downs. They got him playing everywhere. And I think that to me shows me, and I think that should get rid of all of the other stuff that people talk about him and saying he's not a work hard guy, he's not a try guy. This kid works.
You know what else stuck out to me? In the past, very flippid with his answers to the media, but never always kind of basically content that he did enough. What I really loved hearing yesterday was you got five sacks, and you know where you feel, you know, you almost could have had more. And you know what his answer was? I got to do more. I can get more, and I got to do more
because he knows
I like it,
and of course, and once again, 94, Antonio Smith.
You're not getting that anywhere else. I would have never thought of that, but it's a great.
It's been so big to his maturation process. That to me is everything. Is getting him back in there and being able to show him how to work, and then having those two with Antonio and with Anthony Weaver. You can't get a better two sets of vets that have done it better in one room to be your teacher and your mentors.
And they hit them up in different ways, right?
Hit them up in two different ways.
Yep.
It's great.
Great insight from Travis Johnson there. That's why he's the best in the business and sitting to my left making this show happen. I had considered basically, I don't know if you know this or not, but I had considered suiting Nick up just Monday through Thursdays. just to try and influence Jadeveon in a positive way as well. But yeah, we didn't have to go there. Thanks to Antonio coming.
By the way, what's up with that? You like Antonio's cowboy hat that he always wears after the game?
Oh, yeah, he's a big cowboy.
He's a real live cowboy.
Him and Gary Weaver are those type of guys.
Gary Walker.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Gary Walker. Yeah,
yeah. No, yeah, he's a real cowboy. Like, he has a big old ranch in Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah. Just seeing it in person, just kind of. Because you always see him in a uniform on TV, yeah, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, he's a big country. I remember when he bought the property that he has now, and he toured the property. He bought his horse out to tour the property. He was like, oh, he's calling me like, Trav, you don't realize how beautiful it is. I got this stream that runs through the property that I came and bought. It was, he's addicted to that life.
And he's always smiling, too.
Always. That's my guy, man.
It's a great life. If you lead it out the way he's led, you got a Super Bowl ring now. Nothing to prove. Life's good, man. Hey, life's good here as well, as we break it down for you. It's always good when we get together to talk football and other things. Lots of positives to talk about on a Monday in Houston, Texas. Haven't said that in a while. But hey, a win, a light at the end of the tunnel, but a quarterback controversy brewing. We'll see what happens and how they solve it. And we'll talk about it next. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
He's Trap. I'm Joel. The Deucer's in the house. Deuce Johnson.
Say what's up.
That's right. Mini Trap is here. Life is good. Holidays, family, season of giving. And of course, with that, we give to you Nick Sciarra, dropping a little B.I.G., which I like, behind the glass. So we are here till 4 o'clock, and we're covering a lot of things, kicking some ass, doing some things that you want to talk about, and getting to the real brass tacks of the matter of what's going on down on Kirby, because they're still in it. They're still in first place. But let me tell you something. Tennessee is playing some damn good football. They're not going anywhere. And they beat a Chiefs team that has been playing phenomenal lights-out football, particularly on the defensive end, in Kansas City, single-digit temperatures. Kick a, what is it, 50-yarder to win it. But I'm telling you what, boys, they're not going away, and this is all for naught if the Texans don't win this division and get in the playoffs. And Trap, for all that you've been saying about you can't win it unless you're in it, I get it, but it's a huge step back. If you've won the division the last 2 years at 9-7 and did what you had to do, if all things are lined up, you supposedly got your franchise quarterback this offseason, and you come in and you don't win the division and you don't make the playoffs, you can get the Kingsford. You can get the Bunsen burners, and you can rest assured that that is a towering inferno of a recliner that he is sitting in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to be hot for everybody. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. I mean, everybody, I mean, when you look at Gus Bradley getting fired today, which is, to me, was
yesterday, right, yeah, after
yesterday,
the game.
Right after the game, it's, to me, was one of the most absurd firings ever.
Really tough that he had to fly back with the team, which was basically, I likened it to, you're at a wedding in a receiving line, yeah, only you can't get out. There's no escaping it. You have to sit on that flight, and I'm sure it was every teammate and coach coming up to him going, "Man, I'm sorry."
No, but I don't think they told the team until they landed.
Well, I hope not.
I don't think, because
the GM said he knew before the game they were going to do it. If you knew that, wait till you get back.
If we knew it, why did you just fire me before we even got on the plane to come here?
Yeah, either do it way before you know why
I said it's absurd is the fact that they have zero talent on that roster.
I figured he had to know it was coming.
I mean,
after
I wouldn't say zero. Defensively,
they
got some players. But as far as offense and stuff that's supposed to keep moving, that's why Gus Bradley's a defensive guy. So when his defense is playing well, he's doing his job. But at the same time, his wagon is hitched to this quarterback.
Now
that's terrible.
I'm going to disagree with you in certain ways, okay? And I know that we have a discussion over these kind of things, okay? First of all, Gus Bradley's a defensive coach, so that's why I said defensive side of the ball, they're strong.
They are.
Right? And Miles Jack is going to get better.
Exactly.
Okay? On the offensive side of the ball, I don't know many teams that wouldn't take those three receivers. Those three young receivers can make plays if you get them the football.
But the problem is, you could have Jerry Rice, you could have Terrell Owens, you could have Marvin Harrison, you could have
Keenan McCardle in the slot.
Keenan in the slot, and you could have Randy Moss as the as your other five if you go five wide. But if you got Blake Bortles as your quarterback,
but who you couldn't said there start, was no talent. I'm saying,
that's what I'm saying.
Take the quarterback out of the equation. But that, offensively, they got talent.
Okay, but but here's the thing: it's not if you can't get the talent the ball, it matters not.
My bigger issue is with them.
Is they have you saying they have the players? They just and that's the question. Is now
they've missed on a couple linemen, right? Offensively,
yeah, of course.
But nonetheless, and they spent a lot of money on Thomas, the tight end, who hasn't exactly panned out, right?
But I don't blame. I don't say he hasn't panned out. If you got Blake Bortles as your quarterback, that's
fair point, right?
I think you got to factor all that in.
There's going to be guys that look at that situation and go, "We're a quarterback away from being a pretty darn good team because of all the other, like you were saying, with Cleveland having maybe a better roster than the Texans." Jacksonville, aside from the quarterback position, is a lot more loaded than you think.
Oh yeah, I mean,
so if they play the draft right, but there's no quarterback out there. And you know, the other thing is, their entire front office needs to have to look in the mirror as well, because if you look at what they've done with quarterbacks they've drafted in the past, it hasn't been a successful thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. When you talk about Blaine Gabbert.
Gabbert's the one that sits there glaring with neon lights.
And you took him with a top 10 pick.
Right.
That screwing up a quarterback pick in the top 10
can set you back 5 to 10 years.
It can set you back a decade.
You did it twice. If Bortles is indeed not that guy and doesn't pan out, you've done it twice.
That sets you back a decade. Easy. And so then I have a question is, who's at fault? Do you blame Gus Bradley or do you say – that's the scouting department.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, like, so
the scouting department, the guy pulling the trigger, guys up in the front office, that's on you. Just as easy as we can say the sample size wasn't big enough on a guy like Brock Osweiler. Holy cow, when you swing and miss on two top 10 quarterbacks, that's a problem, right?
No question.
And that's something that has to be evaluated as well, because Gus Bradley, I am very confident saying, will be a defensive coordinator very quickly and will be doing very well.
He'll have another job. I just hope that, and who knows, he might sit out a year because he has a year left on his contract. So he might even sit out the year and let them keep paying him and then come back. But I think when you look at it as saying, this guy needs to. Like we got to move on from this guy for what? When you hadn't been given all the ample opportunities. That's like right now what's going on in Cleveland. Everybody looks at Hugh Jackson and says, "Well, is Cleveland going to fire Hugh Jackson?"
God, he better not.
And once again, you'll have the same problems you've been having in Cleveland again. You're going to start over. You're going to have all these same issues with the coach because why? You didn't give anybody a chance to set any roots down. Anybody a chance to get you a real roster of guys that they know, guys that they want. I mean, when you look back at it, I think the worst firing that Cleveland had was when they fired Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You're exactly right on it where I was thinking. My thought process is, okay, so you have to have patience regardless when you bring in a new coach because you got to implement his system, you got to get his type players, you got to do all those things. That's a 3-year process to 5-year process, right?
All the time.
But then if you do the two things you did with the quarterbacks, right, that sets you back quite a bit, okay? And then when you start pulling the trigger prematurely on coaching staff, that starts the whole clock over again.
It does.
By the time you're done with all that, you're talking about a decade.
Easy, and not to mention, not just the decade of that being lost. When you have four coaches in a 5-year span,
man,
that's four different offenses, four different defenses, four different systems, four different staffs, everything.
Player requirements.
That's now you shouldn't every so now the players have they have no.
And you've talked about it in the past. If you've played a certain way in a certain system for a certain length of time, and then you're asked to completely play a different style and a different setup in a 4-3 versus a 3-4 and all the different things that come with it, you can't expect to excel immediately.
No. And I think you look at the way the Raiders have built their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they might have
Reggie McKenzie.
They might have had a couple different coaches.
But you bring a guy in who learned under Ted Thompson, who learned how to be patient, and that's the way you become a general manager. Analyze the talent, start within the draft, do those things right, And then when you need to dabble in free agency, Reggie McKenzie learned, and he learned well.
Yeah.
And then, he's got it.
And then not just that, but then to have your brother, your twin brother, as one of the scouts, as one of your top scouts, you trust his word beyond anything else to know what you're looking for. I think that you can't go wrong with that.
No question about it. That's why the Raiders are succeeding. That's why I hope Cleveland just sticks with Hugh Jackson, because anybody and everybody you talk to loves Hugh Jackson and says he is going to be good. He just has to get the right players in the right position so that they can succeed. We'll see what happens in Jacksonville, because they're starting over again, and it's good for the Texans, but I just don't know how long it's going to take to try and flip the script again for the Jaguars with another coaching change. It's not our problem, it's theirs. I do know one thing. Jalen Ramsey is one hell of a player, even though he went to Florida State University.
Yeah, that's because that dude he went to Florida State.
Is going to be reckoned with for years to come, and no matter who they put, he put him on, and he was all over on D-Hop, he is a heck of a player. We got a lot to go. We've got one in the books and two to go. That means we've got plenty more show. You want to talk about the Texans? Join us, 713-780-ESPN with a text message or a phone call. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. You want to talk about those Rockets? Came back from the depths of the dead to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves on a back-to-back in freezing cold Minnesota this weekend. Hey, now they got the Spurs at home tomorrow night. That is what they call a big regular season game. We can talk about that, too, and anything else that's on your mind. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.